Oh Lord, here we are once again in the evening hours before your word, and we ask and pray that you would come and do the work that you are so faithful to do through your spirit, and that is to awaken us through your word. Come now, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to enliven our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The church, will you hear this word from 1 Timothy 5:17? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in teaching and in preaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. And this is the word of the Lord. I want to take a couple of minutes just as because it's a unique opportunity tonight to talk about the nature of this calling we call the pastorate. 1 Timothy says, let the elders who rule well be worthy of considered of double honor, especially those who labor in teaching and in preaching. And when it says the elders here, who rule well and who labor in teaching and preaching, he's talking about what we formally call the pastor. Right? The pastor is the elder who labors in teaching and preaching and ruling over us. And Paul is speaking directly to a group of people like us. And he's saying very simply, honor your pastor. No more than that, give him double honor. Double honor, Paul says, is due to the one who rules well in your midst. But in fact, honoring this one that we call the pastor is not first and foremost based on his job performance. We give honor to teaching elders for God's sake. You know, we all love Lanier. We know he has tremendous gifts. We know that he is very competent at what he does. But he is not due respect and honor first and foremost based on his merits, but based on the merits of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for this, his church. And this may come as a surprise to the world at large, maybe not to you who are in this room, but Jesus Christ set up the church. It's not a man-made institution. It is a God-ordained, God-designed institution. And he did this crazy thing in his infinite wisdom. He set fickle men over his church to be pastors. And therefore, the way that you treat and honor your pastor is a reflection of what you think of Jesus Christ. Your honor of Lanier is an honoring of Jesus. You give respect not because Lanier is worthy of such a thing, but because Jesus Christ is. And that doesn't mean that Lanier is regarded as an infallible dictator. We surely know that. But he should be given the appropriate honor of the office. And the power of that honor will do immeasurable work in his ministry. I was 31 years old when I became the pastor of this church. That's a fun fact for me. And I remember that most every single time I had anything to do with this church, I was the youngest person in the room at all times. You're still thinking, I still am for the most part, right? I mean, I had this one day where I did the calculations and realized, like, I'm closer in age to most of their children than I am to them. And generationally, probably more like them. And it was not a fact that was lost on me at any moment. And part of it was this feeling of a deficit of being able to sort of earn the regard and the respect of the people. How am I going to pastor people? They're 30 or 40, 50 years my senior, walking the Lord with great joy and wisdom. How do I do such a thing? But you gave me respect and you gave me honor before I earned it. And you did it because I was your pastor. I remember being with you, Dean, on the golf course one day. And I remember we're walking out First tee, Country Club Mobile. Here's all the boys gathered up. Bets are being, you know, put together, and everybody's talking. And I walk into the middle of this, and here, you know what's going to happen. Showstopper introduction, right? Dean says, this is Alec. He's my pastor. Everybody sort of wrinkles their face up and looks at me like, yeah, no. That's not the image we have of this sort of, like, you know, this holy man in the robe, beard, white hair, this, you know, that's not going to work. And, you know, it's kind of funny to them that I was Dean's pastor. But it wasn't funny to Dean, right? I mean, he just introduced me. And he stood there and he gave me the honor of being his pastor. And that left an impression upon me. Now, the world doesn't necessarily respect this office. The world, the way that respect and honor go with them is it has to be earned and it has to be proven and you have to show your performance and you have to do your thing. But you, the church, give honor not because I or Lanier have earned it, but because Jesus Christ has. And you know what happened? Because you gave me this unearned double honor? You called me up and into it. You made me what I should have been all along. Because I woke up every day and I'm trying to figure out, okay, they're calling me their pastor. I've got to figure out how to actually live into that sort of thing. And in the midst of it, you called me in to this. And you all know this who have been here. And it's why I always say, great churches make great pastors. Great churches make great pastors because they call and require and honor their pastors and they bring them up to what God should desire them to be. Oh, beloved, would you do the same for Lanier that you have done for me? Would you? Would you honor him? Would you call him up to something that he may not even be at this point? Would you call him to this high, holy, beautiful, biblical office of pastor, and would you do it for the sake of Jesus Christ? You'd be glad that you did. Okay, Reverend Wood, now your turn. They're going to give you double honor, and not because you've earned it, and I know they will because I've experienced it, and you and I are blessed pastors because of it. It's not that way everywhere. I think you know that. We know that. We've heard enough horror stories. They're going to do it. But that honor obligates you into the office of pastor. You know, Paul says, let the elders who rule well be worthy of double honor. I've made the case they should give the honor for the sake of Christ, but Paul clearly here is noting that the quality of your pastoring is integral to the double honor. Honor comes as you rule well. Without that impetus, the pastorate is tyranny. You are to rule well. You are to labor hard and competently in your preaching, in your teaching, in your leading, in your decision-making, in your pastoring. And if you are to labor well and earn that double honor, it will in fact cost you 1,000 sacrifices. That's just a fact. Don't kid yourself about this calling. It's not like other jobs. It's just not. I know we try to act like it is. It's not. It's not a 9-to-5. It doesn't have the same experiences that everybody else has every day. This is the biblical office of pastor. It is a high, holy calling. Make no mistake about it. But it is a high, holy calling that requires you to get low and to sacrifice. To be a great pastor, not to be the sort of celebrity garbage that we see all the time. You know, the books and the conference. To be a great pastor, to receive the well done, good and faithful from our good and gracious God, it will take at least 1,000 sacrifices. Might I just note a couple here that you probably know already? One of the sacrifices will be that your life is the church. You'll labor at night. You'll labor early in the morning. You'll labor on the weekends. If you're a good pastor, you'll sacrifice much of any life beyond this body. I know we don't like to say that, but you all who are pastors know that this is the truth, right? You know, you're. Let me give you an example of what's going to happen to you in about 2 months. It's going to be Christmas morning. You have worked, and this is your kids are young, and there's going to be presents everywhere, and it is prime time, family, dad time, and you're going to be in the room, but you know what? You're not going to be that present. Because you're going to be preaching a sermon at 11 o'clock that day. That's the kind of thing you stick an assistant pastor with when he comes here, right? Ah, the joys. You know what they're going to do? They're going to come to church and bemoan the fact that they have to go to church on Christmas. I mean, can you believe Jesus is born on Christmas? The audacity of such a thing. No, I have no idea what it is that you sacrificed. It's okay. Smile. You'll be a person who lives in a glass house. And in fact, that glass house will be one of your greatest tools for ministry. Because what we do is we invite people into our lives to walk alongside of us and to say, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Therefore, your character and your walk with Jesus always, always need to be above reproach. You don't get the luxury of slipping up. You don't get the luxury of bad days. You don't get the luxury of significant moral failures. Your character and walk with Jesus must be above reproach if you are to labor well among these people. And it will be a burden. And it'll be one of the thousand sacrifices that it takes to be a good pastor. You'll wear every complaint of theirs. You'll take it personally. I mean, guys, you know us. We act like we don't take these things personally, right? They're all personal. Let's just stop the charade. Everything, I'm speaking to my pastor pals here. Everything that comes to us is personal. The whole thing. And it's a joke to pretend it's not. And it's a burden. Every bit of apathy of your people, every disimpassioned heart inclination toward Jesus, you will wear. You will live in their sin. And in fact, if you are a good pastor, you'll hurt and you'll long for them for more. If you're a good pastor, you will wear the heavy garment of their sin every day, hoping and praying that they will take it off and put Jesus Christ on. To labor well, you will have one of a thousand sacrifices, and one of those will be the experience of deep loneliness. It's going to happen. In fact, it lingers. It's ever present. And I think it has to be embraced as a sacrifice. You may be from Alabama, but I got news for you. You and I are carpetbaggers. We ain't from around here. And we have no home and no allegiance beyond that of Jesus Christ. And we do not set out for such a thing as home and place. And so there is this very real sacrifice of loneliness. Friends are few. I used to try to be friends with everybody in the congregation. And then I realized they don't need a friend. They need a pastor. And as such we are, and such we will be. And so there is the sacrifice of loneliness. And I know, church, it sounds a little depressing, right? I mean, what are we talking about here? It's the reality. The pastorate is a thousand sacrifices. If I were going to tell you anecdotally, I would say the depression rate among my pastoral friends is easily 50%. Easily. I had 150 people in my seminary class. I heard a couple years ago, 30 of them are still actively involved in ordained ministry. And I'm sure that attrition rate is growing by the moment. Most don't want to go the long road of obedience in the same direction. There is mental health problems. There are moral failings. There is anger. There is frustrations. There are depressions. These are the realities that face your pastor every single day in large number. But they are not necessarily things to be fixed. They are realities to be lived with. They are to be embraced and understood as one of the thousand sacrifices that it means to be called to the office of pastor. It will be a thousand sacrifices, but here's the catch. It will also be 10,000 joys. It is a thousand sacrifices, but it will also be 10,000 joys. And if you, Lanier, will embrace the sacrifice, you will be a man wealthy in joy, wealthier than anybody in this room. You'll experience the beauty and the generosity and the love of people that, in ways that no other people in this room, they have no idea what we experience. They will take care of you. They will love you. They will give to you. They will encourage you more than they complain to you. Pastors, let's talk to you a second. We make too big of a deal. We count the complaints far more than we count the encouragements. They're a bigger deal to us. And they shouldn't be. They ought not to be, because the truth is, at least in this congregation, the encouragements are far more than the complaints. They bless 100 times more than they curse. I have stacks of letters in my office saying such things. You'll experience the joy of their generosity, their encouragement, their very real blessings. It will be one of 10,000 joys for you. You get the joy of being paid to do what we ask them to do for free. That's the secret, right? They pay us to study the word, love people, teach the gospel. Things we would do for free. It's an absurd joy. Yes, you'll be pastor to them. Hardly, friend. It's okay. Because there's not a higher joy than when they turn to you and they say, "My pastor." There is not a sweeter. I used to run from that. I used to think titles were silly. And then they call you that. And you think, this is good. And there is not a deeper joy but to turn and to say to them, "These are my people." I went to a St. Paul's football game a couple weeks ago. And I sat next to this friend of mine. And he doesn't go to church here, and he knows a little bit of what I do. We're watching the game, and Jack Turnipseed darts out of the middle linebacker position and blows up the sweep. And I jump up and I cheer. And my guy, we high five, and I turn to him and I said, "That's one of my boys right there. Carnes Kirby." Comes out of his middle linebacker position. I got all the middle linebackers at St. Paul's in this church. He comes out of his middle linebacker position. He intercepts the pass. He goes 40 yards down the field. Crowd roars. I turned to my guy and said, "That's one of my boys." That's part of the joy. And that's part of the joy that other people don't know. It's 10,000 joys in there. You will bleed for them. Most days will seem futile, but then you hear the stories of the way that God is at work in them. I mean, they have no idea what an average day is like for us. We forget. I mean, I go home and I tell Arden these stories. It's just like, yes, it's another day. You know, God at work. Yeah, we wear their sin, but we see their victories. And I there are so many times I walk in and I just want to scream out all the stories. And they're all your stories. And there's so many of them are confidential. I just can't. So I have these hidden joys that we walk around with. Oh, and that one, and that one, and that one. And I saw this, and that happened. And it's just, it is our life. And it's joy. And yes, it's loneliness. But what of these years together, you and me? What of the joy that it already is, and certainly will be, to get to carry this thing together? I've done it by myself, and so have you. It's not fun. But you and me, we got the gift to do this together, and I hope they're seeing what fun and joy it is for us not to be loners anymore, but to just have the partnership and the companionship to carry the burden together. It is 10,000 joys, my friend. Lanier, hear the call and the gospel of the pastorate. Lay down your life for these ones. It will undoubtedly require 1,000 sacrifices, but if you will trust Christ and give your life to this church, it will be 1,000 sacrifices, but it will also be 10,000 joys. Let's pray. Lord God, it is a gift to be reminded of what this thing is that happens called the pastorate. I'm thankful that you have called Lanier here. And I pray that you will teach him what it means to give over 1,000 sacrifices. And I pray that you will give him the good reward of this office of 10,000 joys. We pray this in your name, Lord Christ. Amen.